Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of James. The book of James in the New Testament. James chapter 2 this morning. Book of James chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 14 through 20 this morning. I'll read aloud as you read along silently. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 20. Please stand to your feet if you would in honor of the Word of God if you are able this morning as we read the Word of God together this morning. James chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this enlightening, this passage of Scripture that we just read. God, I pray that you would use it to help us today to be better Christians, to love you more and be more helpful to you in the work of Christ. Now, Father, for those things to be accomplished, we need you to empower our pastor, fill him with thy Holy Spirit. Help his physical needs this morning, not feeling well. So, God, help in that area, we ask also. Because, Father, we need to hear from heaven today. If there's somebody here this morning, Father, that knows not Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray they would trust them this morning and be saved before they leave. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, I failed to mention that this is Super Bowl Sunday. The game is today, this afternoon, I think, or something like that. Church is tonight at 6 o'clock, as usual. If you stay home and watch the football game instead of come to church, I'm going to put the hex of Alibaba on you. Say, what is that? You don't want to know. You don't even want to know. It has put people in torments forever. No release in this life. So you're trying to make us feel guilty. I'm just trying to get you to go to church. That's all. Just behave yourself. Go to church. Turn off your cell phones, electronic devices this morning, please. Now, here's the issue today. Listen very carefully to this pastor, because I'm going to talk to you today about the salvation that requires works. Now listen very carefully. You tune out the first part of this message, you're going to go out of here and think this preacher's a heretic. I said the salvation that requires works. In the Bible, it talks about two kinds of salvation. Talks about the salvation of the soul, and it talks about the salvation of a life. To not know the distinction between the two is the difference between heaven and hell. Proverbs 28:18 said, whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved. James chapter 2 says, if you don't have works to your faith, can faith save you by itself? People have misinterpreted this passage many times over, and I hope to clarify it for you in the message today. But now I'm going to take a few moments, and I want to explain to you the salvation of the soul and the salvation of a life. One requires and demands no works of any kind. The other one does. Religions, entire religions have been started because somebody thought you had to work your way to save your soul. No. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible is very clear. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11, it says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Romans chapter 4, verse 2, for if Abraham were justified by works, he have whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is expressly clear that the salvation of the soul requires no works of any kind on your part, because the work's been done. Jesus did that. Now let's be clear this morning, before I get on into the salvation that requires works, let's be clear. We're not talking about going to heaven. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't do it. Abraham, Old Testament saint, was not justified by his works. He was justified by his faith. So it's very clear this morning that the salvation of the soul, the gift of God that is eternal life, is a gift purchased, paid for, fully, completely, and given to us without any expectation of return from God whatsoever. He doesn't. Matter of fact, he will not accept your works. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not done mighty works in your name? And he'll say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. And remember now, he declared their works that they thought that earned them the way to heaven as sin. That's what iniquity means. It sinned God for somebody to try to earn what Jesus paid for. So that's very clear. Are we clear this morning? So when I talk about salvation that requires works, I'm not talking about going to heaven. I'm not talking about saving your soul. I'm not talking about justifying yourself in the sight of God. I can take you out here and baptize you in the river to every fish by his first name, and you're not going to heaven. You can join every church in this city, and you're not going to heaven. You can do all the do's and don't all the don'ts, and you will not go to heaven because you do not get there by your works. The salvation of the soul is purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. No more, no less now. It's just that. That's the salvation of the soul. That's one type of salvation the Bible speaks of. But Proverbs 28:18 says, whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved. Well, that's not a contradiction. That's a different salvation. You see, there is the salvation of the soul that Jesus purchased on the cross, and there is the salvation of a life, the life you have, a life, the life you have on this earth that does require works. Ephesians 2:8-9, one more time. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. Now God separates, listen now, as much as he separated heaven and hell, he separated Ephesians 2:8-9 from Ephesians 2:10. You're saved by grace through faith, and it's a gift, and it's not of works, and you can't earn it. But once you get that salvation, you need to get busy, because God created you as a child of God. He made you to want to work and get to work for him. He created you as his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. One more. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That word creature is creation, just like God created everything. This is not some evolutionary accident. God stepped out onto nothing and spoke the worlds into existence from nothing. Nobody's ever, no create. There is no nothing man does that creates anything. They call it that. You know, it's a wonderful creation of art. It's a wonderful creation of a sculpture. That's a wonderful creation of this. That's not a creation. They took what was already existing and made something out of that. God is the one that's in the creation business. God takes nothing and makes something out of nothing. Only God can do that. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He's a new creation. Dead in trespasses and sin. Faith in Jesus Christ. God makes you a brand new creation. That's without works of any kind. For if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Then it says this, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's what theologically is called the process of sanctification. Now that involves whether or not you're willing to let the old go and the new come. That is a works thing. It has nothing to do with your heaven, has nothing to do with eternal life. It has everything to do with whether or not your life here is going to be different. You know, ladies and gentlemen, we talk about the fact that God changes our life, and God does change our life. But God will not change your life without you allowing him to do so. God will not allow your life to change. He does not want, he will not let your life change unless you get busy and do something to let him change your life. There are things he wants you to do, and there we are in James chapter 2. Now, I want you to look at that passage again this morning, because here he's talking about the salvation of a life. For he says in James 2, again in verse number 14, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Notice it is a question, because the answer of salvation of the soul has already been answered. Yes, faith can save your soul. But read on. And if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which for needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. He's talking here about once you get saved, once you know Christ as your personal Savior, if you don't put some works to your faith, listen now, your faith becomes dead. Not your salvation and not your soul. Look here, there is no place in the Bible after Jesus said you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven, John chapter 3. There's no place in the Bible where he tells you you can be unborn. No one's ever been unborn. We've all going to experience death, but no one's ever been unborn. We've all been born once. Spiritually, that's what happens. You get saved, you're born into the family of God. You are born into the family of God. You have life given you by God. That cannot change. But as a child of God, if I take the faith God gives me from his word in my life and I don't do anything with it, or I don't do what I should with it, my faith becomes dead and my life cannot change. We got too many Christians today. They're stuck in the neutral of the transmission of the Christian life. Something, by the way, you go from there to reverse and you start backing up. But they think, you know what? Well, I got saved. I'm going to heaven and that's all that's necessary. Well, that's the most important thing. We would agree. Yes? Okay, there's three or four Baptists here this morning. I said we would agree with that. That is the most important thing, right? Being born again, going to heaven, knowing for sure you have eternal life. That's the most important thing, but that's not the only thing. That's not all there is in the Bible. Look, if that's all that mattered in the Bible, you'd have John 3:16, and that's all you'd have. The rest of it is the Bible telling us, what do you do with this life now I've given you? You get busy, because faith without works is dead. James chapter 2 is talking about the salvation of a life. Once you get saved, you get busy. You're not trying to earn salvation. You can't earn what's already paid for. It's done. You have eternal life. That's it. It's done. It's taken care of. You can rest in the fact that you are born again by the Spirit of God via the blood of Jesus Christ, a free gift that he gave you. It's done. You don't have to keep trying to earn that. Well, I'm just trying to be worthy of my salvation. You can't be worthy of something you didn't deserve. You just can't. But what you do on the other flip of that, or the other side of that, if I may, is this. You need to get busy, because if you don't, your faith becomes dead. That's why Christians today, they're chasing all kinds of crazy, dumb stuff. They're looking for something new. You know why? They don't need anything new. They just need to get busy with what they have. They need to get some works to their faith. And their works to their faith makes their faith come alive. And by the way, that's how God changes your life. Salvation of a life does require works, because it's the salvation of the life of another one's life that requires your works. That's verse 15 and 16 there. You see somebody has a need and you go, I'm praying for you, and you can do something about it. That doesn't do them any good. And what good does it do? If you say, well, I can't do anything, so I do pray for them. If that's all you can do, prayer is great. But wait a minute. If you see someone has a need and you can do something about the need and you don't, the Bible says, what good does that do that person? He's not talking about God, man and God. He's talking about man to man here. Somebody else, another person's life will not be helped if you don't put some works to your faith. We got too many Christians living in their little bubble. They're just walking around in their little circle, getting their stuff, doing their thing, getting theirs, living their life, getting what they want. Oh, occasionally they'll do something nice for somebody, but only if it benefits them. There's so much of this charitable stuff that's self-satisfying. A lot of what people do today, they do it out of guilt. They feel badly, so they do something. It's even to make them feel better about what they do, rather than just to help somebody, to just help somebody. See, salvation, this salvation of a life, if I don't put works to it, somebody's life is not going to be helped. God didn't put you on this earth for you to get yours, live your life, get up, go home, and live your life and drop dead someday. He put you on this earth to do something for somebody else. Greater love hath no man than this, Jesus said, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. I wonder if that was a New Testament prophecy of Facebook. I'm not sure. Seeing somebody with a need requires me to do something about it if I can, something. And if I don't, the life of another is not helped. The salvation of my faith requires works. Verse 17, your faith comes alive when you put works to it and you put works with it. That's what he's trying to get across here. Please follow again. He's saying here, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. I remember when I got right with God in a hot August night of 1975, and I started to go back to church. I'd been going to church for a little bit before that, for the high and holy reason of sitting next to this blonde-haired, hazel-eyed babe. So your motives weren't pure, were they, Pastor Johnson? Nope. Not even close. I didn't want to go to church. She did, and I wanted to sit next to her. It was another chance to sit next to her. So I sat next to her in church. Trouble is, don't get upset by this. I should have gone to a Protestant church. I went to an independent, fundamental, soul winner, separated King James Bible preaching, Hellfire and Damnation Baptist Church. And that preacher started whacking away at me. Oh, my soul. And there I was, just wanting to sit next to this beautiful babe, who's still my beautiful babe after 40 years. And that preaching just started working on me. Not too long after that, I got right with God. Now look at me. Then I went back to church, still because I wanted to sit next to her. Don't do it anymore because I'm preaching all the time. Never get to sit next to her in church. Now she's sitting on the back row. One more row, babe, you're out the door. You know that, don't you? Then when I started to go back to church, I started hearing about things that you do in church, things you needed to do at church. And I started to get involved. Shortly after that, we were married. We had a long engagement, about 2 weeks. We got married, moved to Chico from Sacramento. First thing we did was find a good church. Got right in that church. Got busy in that church. Young, dear people, look at me. I found out something immediately. My faith came alive. When I quit going to church and just sit and listen, and I went to church and I listened, and they said, there's something, here's something. And I thought, well, I could do that. I saw a bus pull out of the parking lot, and I said, I could drive a bus. I could do that. I went to the pastor and said, can I drive a bus? He said, yes, you could see so-and-so. He'll get you plugged in. I started driving a bus, started singing in the choir. But what happened was this. I put some works to my faith, and that faith that had been so dormant over those years of backsliding in my life came alive. And God saved my life. Oh, he saved my soul when I was 9, 6, so many years later, 1975, and that was a long time ago. And the truth of the matter is, hey, you know what happened? My life came alive. All of a sudden happened. Here's what happens to Christians. They get saved, they get in church, they get busy, they start to grow, they slow down, they back up, they backslide, they get back in church, they get busy, they start to grow, and they take two steps forward and one step back, and they take two steps forward and they take one step back, and they take two steps forward and they take one step back, and they wonder why they're not really making any life in the Christian progress in the Christian life. Because you're not going forward. You pull the works, your faith dies, your faith is dead. Why is it after a person's out of the will of God for a while, they get right with the Lord? They say, boy, the old excitement has come back again. You know why? You put works to your faith, it came alive. It's the principle of Scripture. God saves our life based on the works we put to the faith that He gave us. It saves your life. After that, for me personally, the idea of just going to church didn't interest me at all. I wanted to go to church and find something that they needed help with and get in on it. And when I got in on it, my faith grew and increased, and my faith was alive. It changed my life. Is that what it is with some people? You say, I know it'll happen. I'll get in there and get busy, and that's going to mess everything up. Yeah. Look at me. Mess up everything that needs messing up. Fix everything that's broken. Oh, then there's the other one. Oh, this is even worse. You get in, you get busy, and you find out, this is a shocking statement, you find out that there are a few people around there who are not quite up to the mark. What's your first name, Brother Evans? Not quite up to the mark. You know what I'm saying? Hey, find out. It's another horrible statement. They got people down there. And not everybody who works is genuine and sincere. Well, that's a shocking moment. Shocking moment. That's why when you go in a grocery store and you see somebody standing there who should be working and they're leaning on the flour sacks on the flour aisle talking instead of doing what they need to do, you think to yourself, that guy's not real. He's not sincere. I'm going to quit eating. Sure you do. You pull up to a gas station. Does anybody pump gas anymore? I mean, in Oregon, but I mean here. There might be. Isn't that guy over on what's his name on Cyprus? I think you can go in there. There's a couple of gas stations you can still go where they pump gas. I used to do that as a job when I was in high school. It was great. We had a thing, myself and the other teenagers working at the gas station. We had a thing to see who could steal the most dipsticks throughout the day. Because you pop the hood, check the oil, then you cut a hole in your pocket and you slide it down into your pants like that and go up there and say, oil's fine, dipstick's gone, oil's fine. End of the day, we'd have bands of them in the back of the garage. That's why you want to do your own gas. See what I'm saying? You got these kids out there. You pull in that gas station, some kid comes out there, he didn't wash the windows like they used to do. He didn't do any of that kind of stuff. You say, I'm not driving anymore. I'm giving up on this car thing. Because those people in those gas stations. I think you're getting the point, right? Do I have to do another illustration? I don't think I need to. I think you get the point. You go to church, you're going to find out there's some people there who are just not quite up to the standard. I'll leave you alone. Not quite up to the standard, okay? But then, see, I didn't do it for them anyway. I did it for him. And I found something out. I just kind of keep my nose down, my head down a little bit, and I just kind of do what the Lord wants me to do, and I find the busier I stay. And you don't have to do what everybody else does. You just have to do, for some of you, if you just start something, like go to church on Sunday night, that changed your life, just that alone. Just that one. Just back up an hour, go to Sunday school. That would change your life. Just little things that you start out with. But the more you add works to faith, the more faith comes alive. And when you don't, it dies and it's done. Then you think, well, guess I better find another church. No, what you need to do is get busy. Because faith without works is dead, being alone. The salvation of my life that requires works is also the salvation of my life before others. In verse number 18, would you look at the verse now carefully? And here's how it shows you it's not talking about salvation. Yeah, man may say, thou hast faith, I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. And I will show thee my faith by my works. James 2 is talking about a show me faith. Me showing it to him, him showing it to me. You say you believe something, show me. I say I believe something, I have to show him. It's not God. It's man to man stuff. It's that business of faith with works. Proves. See, it tells other people. So not only does it help a person that has a need, it helps other people who are also trying to do their thing, their works for the Lord. It shows them, you know what? That person's faith's alive. They really believe that stuff. It helps your faith to come alive, and it helps the faith of others to come alive. Now, we don't live on dependent upon others. You do what you do for the Lord because it's what you do for the Lord. Forget what other people do or don't do. But you know something? I find it encourages people. When I go back to my home church, Pleasant Valley Baptist Church in Chico, and preach, I do every year, a couple times a year usually. When I go back there, I always look around the crowd because I'm looking for certain people. After all these years, a lot of them are in heaven. But there's still some that have been there 44. How long has your dad been there, Trace? 60. Her mom's been in that church 60 years. Dad, 40 or 50 years, I think. 50 years in that church. You know, I see people like that in church, and I think to myself, you know what? That's amazing. And it encourages my faith because their faith, after all these years, they still have works to it. They're still there. They're still doing what they do. That's encouraging to me. It helps to increase me. So you see what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen? There is a salvation that requires works, and it's the salvation of your life. And it actually encourages the lives of others in the areas of their faith. Let me ask you a question. Whose faith are you encouraging, and whose faith are you discouraging? Yep, that's me. Somebody said something to me one day at church, and I didn't like it. Huh. Me too. One time, I broke out my solo singing career. Once. The rescue mission. Somebody didn't show up that was supposed to sing. I was going to preach, and I thought, got to have a special. So I sang. Wasn't that bad. After the service was over, this guy came up. Well, preacher man, don't give up the preaching. Thank you. And I was all ready to call and get a studio lined up and everything. I mean, I was ready to bust a move on my solo singing career. And one drunk at the mission shot it down just like that. That was the end of it. Well, I'm sorry. See, yesterday we had Brother Stout's memorial service here. Alan sang that song again. I was going to ask you to sing it tonight. They sang that song again that he liked. And we have folks who got meals prepared for them. Folks ushered, made sure that they had folks here to help them give out brochures and take care of seating. Staff took care of brochures and taking care of the meetings, recorded things, got stuff done. See, that encourages people's faith. I'm not asking you to just look around for an example and follow that. All I'm asking you to do, instead of looking around and finding the fault in people, why don't you look around and find their faith? Why don't you let that encourage you? You know, we have people who drive 45, 50 minutes, almost an hour to come to church here. You do know that, right? And they're here every service. That encourages my faith. It encourages me on a midweek service. See, somebody come right from work right into the service. That encourages my faith. I think to myself, you know, and I've had them apologize. Say, I'm sorry, Pastor, I came right. But don't ever apologize to me. I'm glad you're here. It encourages my faith. Don't you understand, ladies and gentlemen, the salvation of a life involves something you do and I do. We got to stop our narrow-minded thinking and just seeing ourselves and the way that it fits and what it does. You've done it before. I've told you that. I'll stand up at a restaurant or something going in or coming out and hold the door open for people and watch them just parade in and out of the place. I'm standing there holding the door. Welcome to Outback. Enjoy your lunch today. Sometimes they'll say, do I get one of those buzzer things so I can get a seat? I'll see that lady right over there. She'll take care of you. Welcome to Outback. Or I'm going out the door. I hold the door. That was a nice lunch. Did you enjoy your lunch? I did. Thank you for coming to Outback, and God bless you for being here today. And pass it by. Most people just walk right past you like you're not even there. Say, well, what do you hold the door open for? Because it's funny. They think I work there. I'm trying to get tips. I mean, hey. Verse number 19, without works, my faith is no better than Satan and his minions. The devils believe and tremble. Oh, no, but they do nothing about it. Salvation of the soul is without works of any kind. Listen now, to get it or to keep it. Salvation of a life. If you're not willing to let the old go, the new can't come. And that new creature in you will never grow like it could. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good work. He's given us an amazing gift of grace. And we do what with it? I just go about my life. Wrong. Your faith is dead, isn't it? You get busy and you put works to faith. Faith comes alive. You take it out, faith dies, and your life doesn't go forward. And the salvation of your life, he that walketh uprightly, the Bible says, shall be saved. From trouble? Oh, yeah. Loss of life? Oh, yes. Loss of time? Most precious. And you come to know God's will and what he has for you on this earth. But you're not going to find it outside of his will, outside of doing the works God has for you. That's why he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You present yourself to God in yieldedness, obedience. You'll come to know what you're on this earth for. That's poor. That's valuable. Matter of fact, that's most precious of all. Salvation of a life does require us to be obedient to God and his work and his will. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.